Monogamy is for pussies, if I do say so myself. Written by 14 Passions. Read by Apple Sapling. This is a Danny Fenton fanfiction, featuring relationship between Danny Fenton, Tucker Foley, Valerie Gray, and Sam Mason. Rated teen and up. Summary. Not serious, Sam insists, because she doesn't want them to get the impression that this is something bad, which usually goes hand in hand with serious. Just an observation that I didn't want to keep to myself any longer. Val's suit disappears underneath her skin, though she remains perched on her board. She raises a single brow and requests, "Shoot." In a move that Sam rarely makes, she takes in a single steadying breath. She looks between the three faintly glowing gazes of her friends, and reminds herself that after everything they've been through together, this certainly won't be the conversation to break them apart. I don't think that what's between the four of us is strictly platonic. It hasn't been for a while, actually. Or, Danny, Sam, Tucker, and Valerie try out more traditionally romantic things in their dynamics. Is it a polycule? Probably. That doesn't matter that much in the grand scheme of things. Sam helps pull Tucker up the final ledge to the second floor of the abandoned observatory, and Tucker lets out hopefully fake, dramatic gasps. He's perfectly capable of doing the climb up the broken stairs by himself, and the fact that he's always insistent on getting help from Sam is just one of many reasons that Sam called this meeting. "Hey guys," Danny immediately greets, eager as always. He's in his phantom form, but after over a year of knowing him and spending long nights huddled together in this very room, the eerie green glow of his eyes and throat don't throw them off too much. Tucker still wants to figure out if the glowing throat has something to do with the ghost sense, but other than that, yeah, it's not that bad. "Should we be humans or hunters for this?" he prompts. Sam shrugs, settling herself on one of the many picnic blankets spread around the space. At second glance, it's actually Ellie's sleeping bag, but considering how little she comes into town, it doesn't matter that Sam's taking over one of the only consistent beds she has. "It doesn't really matter, you guys are still you either way. But if you don't mind, Val, can you untint your visor? I want to see your face." Tucker whistles. "Oh shit, this is more serious than I thought." "Not serious," Sam insists, because she doesn't want them to get the impression that this is something bad, which usually goes hand in hand with serious. "Just an observation that I didn't want to keep to myself any longer." Val's suit disappears underneath her skin, though she remains perched on her board. She raises a single brow and requests, "Shoot." In a move that Sam rarely makes, she takes in a single steadying breath. She looks between the three faintly glowing gazes of her friends, and reminds herself that after everything they've been through together, this certainly won't be the conversation to break them apart. "I don't think that what's between the four of us is strictly platonic. It hasn't been for a while, actually." "Two of us are exes on good terms with Danny," Val dismisses far too easily. "It's definitely a remnant of the toxic skeleton of the A-listers' friends group, and even if they've gotten better since Val was cast aside, Sam will never quite forgive them for the toxicity they dragged such a good person into. That tends to happen." "No, I mean..." Sam waves her hand wildly for a moment, trying to find the right words, but instead settles on an example. "We've all given consent for Danny to possess us, no questions asked. If it's an emergency situation, where he needs to hide, or thinks we're in danger that we can't get out of without powers. We all have spent time asleep practically on top of each other. Most of our parents don't even blink if someone else invites themselves over for dinner. I think it'd be nice to redefine some things." "Are you saying you want to try dating again?" Danny asks, sounding genuinely confused. Because I know it's been a few months, Sam, but you definitely weren't up for all of that mushy stuff.
I wasn't, Sam agrees. But the thing is, we're just four high schoolers, and I think we haven't been taking advantage of that enough. We're still learning what we like in other people, what things we're comfortable with, and who we're comfortable with more. And I hope that we're all on the same page when I say that I trust everyone in this room more than I thought I could trust anyone ever.
You've definitely thought along about this, Tucker notes. So, you have an idea already, right?
Sam nods curtly and declares, not for the first time, but this time with much more importance.
Fuck monogamy. The boys don't seem to grasp exactly what she means by that, but Val appears hesitant.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed, but I've never thought about any of that with anyone except Danny.
That's my point, Sam agrees. We have the next few years of our lives to figure out what we want from a partner, what we're comfortable with from people who aren't partners, and learning how to keep things balanced without putting anyone on leash or at a distance. What I'm suggesting is a poly dynamic, and it's up to the people in it to define whether their corner of it is romantic, a QPR, or just friends being friends.
Danny and Val both appear thoughtful, and so Sam doesn't have enough attention on Tucker before he asks suspiciously.
Is this just a long-winded plot to get into a foursome?
With all the strength she has, Sam punches Tucker in the shoulder. He yelps and flops back in a heap.
She's lying about the strength. She doesn't think that she could bring herself to actually hurt one of her friends that badly, even if Pariah Dark himself were possessing them.
It does sound like a good idea, Danny says, clearly electing to ignore Tucker's comment.
I know that our relationship fell apart because I was keeping secrets, and you were keeping secrets, and we were all going through some tough mental health stuff. Sam, I know that you show affection differently from other people and didn't like trying to fit in with the norm. And Tuck, I know that we're probably better off as bros than anything else, unless you want to talk about that. But Sam's right. I trust you guys the most of anyone in my entire life, save maybe Jazz. And I'm willing to give this a shot.
The next time that Sam enters the abandoned observatory, she finds two sleeping bags zipped together and spread over Tucker, Val, and Danny Phantom. It's the peak of summer and 70 degrees out even at night, but thanks to Danny, there's a comfortable chill in the air. Sam grabs her own sleeping bag and drags it over, sipping it against the edge of Tucker's before slipping in next to him. Tucker whines at the added warmth, even as Sam relaxes as Danny's chill washes over her.
I'm going to be the last one out of bed tomorrow, aren't I? Danny sighs.
Val shuffles and somehow manages to become even more plastered to Danny's side.
Whether you like it or not,
he acts resigned, but even in the dark, Sam can see the grin making his lips twitch. Sam learns that holding hands is a great grounding technique. There'd been a photo going around of Danny as Phantom and Val interacting, and even though it'd just been him rescuing her so that she could switch over to her Red Huntress persona while out of sight, it had been close enough contact that it had made Paulina jealous. Paulina is jealous because of a relationship between Val and Danny that does definitely exist, not that she needs to have that confirmed for real. However, she doesn't have any right to be part of Phantom's love life and really needs to take the hint already. The girl takes to glaring down Val during every class that they share, while Sam can do nothing but glare back. Eventually, though, Val winds up sitting in front of Sam, with one arm slung over the back of her chair, and Sam has an idea. She reaches forward and takes Val's hand. doesn't flinch at how cold it is to the touch, because it's nothing in comparison to Danny and his ice core. She uses her thumb to rub a 4-7-8 breathing rhythm against Val's hand, and after a few repetitions, Val catches on and starts to follow it. The next class, she does the same thing to catch Tucker's attention when the teacher starts on a bit of a ramble about one of Tucker's favorite tech companies. He looks up from his notebook, startled, and then almost immediately gets sucked in by the conversation that hadn't seemed interesting to him at all seconds earlier. With Danny, it doesn't really have a defined start. Danny is a big fan of touch, which some thinks might have to do something with his perpetual cold, even if he claims that it doesn't bother him at all. But often some will find their hands intertwining, giving firm squeezes back and forth like it's a game. Sometimes Tucker will join hands with one of them, but he never squeezes back, or at least didn't by the time Sam gave up on trying. They start changing in the same room for sleepovers. They're not looking, not anything creepy, but they've stopped feeling the need to split up just to come right back together. Okay, that's a lie. Sam looks once, when the GAW misses a shot at Phantom that goes wide enough to hit Val, and she wants to make sure that her friend isn't too hurt, because even with her nano armor, she's still a liminal and shots from GAW weapons hurt like a bitch when you're a liminal. That's probably not a good thing that Sam's able to attest to. Anyways, when Jess comes back from college for a weekend, she squints suspiciously at the four of them when they're gathered in Danny's room, and Sam's not entirely sure if it's because they're all cramped together on Danny's bed to watch something on his laptop, or if it's because they haven't snuck over to the abandoned observatory yet. Probably a mix of both. Jess is smart like that.
How do you know? Tucker asks, gazing up at the stars.
It had been hard to get the roof to the observatory back open, but with a lot of WD-40, some ghost powers, and a lot of dedication, they'd finally done it. And even if Sam's not the one obsessed with space, mapping out the stars still brings a feeling of peace that she rarely manages.
Know what? She asks.
Tucker shuffles uncomfortably, not facing her when he hesitantly responds.
When it's real.
When what's real? Danny asks, but it's in a tone that tells Sam that he already knows, and just wants Tucker to admit it to himself.
Love.
When he says it, he looks back over to the rest of them, suddenly more nervous.
And I guess it's like I'm interested in other girls, right? And sometimes guys too. But it's always felt so objective. I'm interested, but a lot of that gooey romance stuff just doesn't cross my mind at first. Not like it does for...
When he trails off, Sam rolls her eyes and scoots closer. We're dating, asshole. You can say that you want to do gooey romance things with us. I'm sure somebody here is interested enough in your nerdy ass.
Tucker swats her.
Val summons her phone out of nowhere and everyone grows dramatically when the light of it makes the room sort of glow. Unperturbed, she types something out, squints for a moment, clicks something, and then hands the phone off to Tucker. He grabs the stylus for his PDA from his pocket, flips it over to the phone stylus that Danny had glued onto the back, and starts to scroll. When Tucker finishes reading, he stares blankly for several seconds, evident because his eyes don't move across the page. When he flops back dramatically, he declares,
"Val, did you know that you're the smartest person in the history of liminals?"
"I think this is the best way I've ever had someone come out to me," Val responds.
"Wait, did you just fucking gaydar him?" Danny demands, hopping over Tucker to yoink the phone. Unfortunately, Val is responsible enough to have her phone auto-lock when it's set down upside down.
Sort of, Tucker responds, strangled. She showed me the page for being demi-romantic, which... that's a thing? What the fuck?
Several things click into place at once, and Sam grins teasingly.
So, what does this say about all the girls you've said you're attracted to? Do you just want to fuck?
Tucker kicks her. Sam begins to cackle. Danny gives Val a parting kiss on the cheek, then takes Tucker's hand and begins to walk away. Right before Sam can offer her hand to Val, the four all turn at the strangled noise and are greeted by the alarmed face of one Wes Weston, who seems to be questioning several things. Sam gets a great idea.
Sorry, Wes, she sighs, making sure to pour the fake sympathy on extra thick. I guess that phantom's already taken. Maybe Red Huntress is still available.
Val's shoulders shake with silent mirth as the girls walk away. Sam jumps in through Danny's window and immediately flops onto his legs. Danny doesn't kick her off, but does sound slightly annoyed as he asks,
"What do you want?"
Feeling pathetic, even as she says it, Sam admits, "I don't really want to go home tonight."
"Ah."
With suspiciously practiced ease, Danny scooches forward and adjusts everything on the bed so that it's sideways, and then briefly phases Sam through his legs so that she's laying on the pillow instead. "I'll text Jess and tell her you're here." Val runs a sparring session for the team. Sam volunteers to go first because she's got instincts, but she doesn't have the trained talent that Val has, and she wants to be able to help them out in the field, especially since Val's going off to college before the rest of them, and that's going to make everything a lot harder. The sparring session is derailed by a crucial fact that they'd all forgotten. Val has a sleeper build, and when she's stretching while outside her Red Huntress costume, it gets really evident. Danny is blushing bright red to the tips of his ears. Sam is... you know what, she doesn't have to call herself out. This is her own monologue. And Tucker is giving a hungrier look than he's ever given Paulina.
"What?"
Val asks, somehow like an innocent child who has not been friends with the A-listers for all her life. "You all okay?"
"Woman," Tucker says eloquently.
Sam nods frantically and starts blinking aggressively.
"Yeah, woman," she agrees.
Val rolls her eyes.
"Ancients, you are all hopeless."
"You're in the polycule too," Danny accuses.
"Yeah, so unlike some of you, I got out of the useless pining phase. Now come on, Mason, I wanna see how high you can kick. You all never show off in gym class, I've got no idea what to expect."
Val. "Love y'all. Good night. Heart." Sam. "Good night." Tucker. "Night. Heart." Danny. "Love y'all. Good night." Tucker.
"Sam, you need to declare your love for us."
Sam.
"Oh my god.
You're assholes and I hate you all. Good night." Danny. Crying emoji. "I'll never recover. I'm gonna go die again, y'all." Sam. "Fine." You're all beautiful human beings, and I hope our existences continue to revolve around each other until the eventual death of the sun, or when we all start burning in the discount hell that we call the ghost zone. I love you and good night. Tucker. Aww. Danny. I love you. Sam. Shut it. Val. Lol. Jazz. Good job, Sam. Ellie. Vomiting emoji. I'm trying to enjoy myself right now and yell making it hard. Take it to the private chat, please. Tucker. Homophobia. Danny. I can't believe you've done this. Jazz. We said good night. That means good night. We all know that you guys are going to be up in a few hours. Please, try and get some sleep. Kay? Ellie. Jazz, you have a destiny as a cool wine out. Wait, ignore that! Danny. Ellie, I don't think you know what that implies. Ellie. I do. Crying emoji. Tucker. I mean, there's four of us, so it wouldn't take very long. JK. Unless... Val. That's taking innuendo too far, dear God, Stuck. Sam. I'm just gonna log off.